League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Say my name.
ESPN 97.5.
Damn right.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Keep rocking and keep knocking. Whether you be
live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Two in the books, one to go, as we are covering a Friday show. It's an F Yeah Friday, and we have been taking your calls, and they are coming in bunches because you want to chime in on the Brock Osweiler situation, and you want to chime in on some things that we said, whether it be about Bill O'Brien or Rick Smith or Brock Osweiler, or who'd you take as starting quarterback, Brock Osweiler or one of the other guys starting currently in the NFL. It's fired some of you up. Some of you guys have brought the heat, and they've been legitimately good calls. Other guys didn't expect to get what they were coming in return, but that's part of the price you pay when you enter the living room. And that's how you get elevated from the floor to the bearskin rug to the beanbag chair to the big chairs. And sometimes you're showing the back door when you think you're still chiming in at the front doorbell. And with that being said, we head all the way down to Kima, where we have an unbelievable audience. And it's led by our man, Ben, who wants to get in on this discussion. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I got a little bit to say on the Cole Carr to Osweiler comparison that so many people are doing, and they're starting to freak out with Osweiler, which I do think is a little premature, but when you look at the stats through each of their first four games in Texans, David Carr got sacked 28 times, Osweiler's been sacked 7 times. David Carr threw 4 touchdowns and 6 picks, and Osweiler threw 6 touchdowns and 7 picks. So if you look at it, the stats are a little too similar as far as the touchdown and turnovers, considering Carr got sacked way more, and I think people, whether they know these numbers or not, they're starting to freak out a little bit with Osweiler. And I can see it. I don't necessarily agree with it because offenses and defenses have changed, especially defense in the past few years with rushing the passers and the complexity on things like that. But I can see where people are coming from, but I don't think it's fair to compare Carr to Osweiler.
Where did that comparison come from?
Richard, we didn't compare David Carr. We brought up Derek Carr. As far as
not y'all fans.
You're talking about fans.
So the fans on the ledge are already comparing Brock, because you wouldn't get that kind of educated discussion on ESPN 97.5. That's why you're in the right spot, Ben. But you're telling me that there are fans out there that are making the comparison between David Carr and his first handful of games with the Texans and then Brock's first handful of games this year?
Yeah, because people are already freaking out about Osweiler, and they're also saying, do you not understand
to some degree people freaking out about Brock Osweiler because of the money spent, because of the fact that you expected more, even if it's a small sample size, since he's joined the Texans because of the money that they spent?
Oh, I do, because David Carr only made $22 million over his first 4 years, and look what Osweiler's already signed for.
Yeah, and we're taking David Carr to the equation now. I'm just asking you because I understand from a fan's perspective why there is more than concern about Brock Osweiler when you identified this guy as your franchise quarterback.
No, I agree with you. 7 games isn't enough. It's enough to make a decision on, but maybe not $72 million. So I guess, I mean, I'm wondering how long it is till people are talking about, well, you know, how many Lewis Nixes can we have, or Cecil Shorts, or Suofilos before people kind of overlook, you know, the Clowney's draft picks to an extent, or the J.J. Watts to an extent, because a lot of people are pretty upset at certain times with Rick Smith, and it seems like he only seems to do enough to stop the conversation, never enough for people to really be in support of Rick Smith. So I'm kind of wondering where that's going to go in the next few years.
Well, what's enough for them to support Rick Smith? What, he has to win a Super Bowl? Is that enough
to support Rick Smith? You know Houston fans are, we're please me now kind of thing, because we're usually the third or fourth or maybe the fifth biggest market for sports. There's no sale or income tax here in Texas. So people are always wondering, well, why can't we get all these big names? And a lot of people also understand the money situation. So I think for a lot of Houston fans, with how patient we are, I think it's going to be a deeper playoff run, or at least to where we don't get ripped up 30-0 by a team that made it the wild card.
Well, Trav, I'll take the other side of that, too, yeah. because I've already said it. I've said the fact that he's got to draft better. You've got to have draft picks yeah. that end up staying on the roster. You got to have situations where you don't take Xavier Suofilo, but you do take whether it's Derek Carr or Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. You know, there's been – I go time and time again where I'm not just saying this is, hey, a one screw-up mistake. Because everybody's entitled to make mistakes, and they're going to make mistakes because no one's perfect. But when you start looking at the track record, you start stacking it up. There's more to be said about the fact that he's getting the McNair's Christmas presents
as
part of the family than there is based on his track record.
I mean, you know, if he consistently puts you in the playoffs and, you know, everybody's basically giving Rick the boot after the Kansas City game, mm-hmm. and it wasn't Rick's fault.
No.
The Kansas City game wasn't.
I mean, but Rick didn't play the game.
Like,
sometimes
totally
you got to put
the
onus on some of these guys.
I agree. I'm looking at the body of work.
Well, the body of work, you know, they had a pretty good run.
Okay, let me ask you this.
They've had a good, pretty good run.
Let me ask you this pertaining to that, because Barry said yesterday he was good and everybody should be good and no one should be on the hot seat, O'Brien or Rick Smith, because 9-7 is good enough. And as long as you go 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, and you win the division, then you've done enough to maintain your job. And I said, particularly in this market, because, as the caller Ben said, that we are the fourth largest city in America, but because we are a sports town, because there's a lot of demand for the teams to perform at a certain level. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, division championships, then getting your butt handed to you, or not making progress and advancing is not good enough.
No, it's not. I mean, 9-7 is not good enough. I mean, for Barry to say that, I mean, Barry was just talking to hear himself talk. I mean, when he said 9-7 is good enough. No, because nobody could say 9-7. For you being a comedian, is it good enough just to play the mom and pop joint? Or to play inside of a
you guys talk
nowhere.
About
yeah. I'm just speaking
you
on
guys
in general.
Talk about 9-7. I played for a coach that got fired at 14-2.
Yeah, Marty, right?
Marty
yes. Schottenheimer. Yep.
Because the GM
but him and AJ
said
was
he
that
brought,
AJ Smith?
Yes. The GM said he got enough players to win it all. So who's the GM and who's the coach? Over there.
Hey, but
on Kirby?
On Kirby.
I think that's still up in the air.
I'll say like this. Some of this.
Because I
was in after
Rick,
you.
Rick is the GM.
But I was in after you. And, well, we had a stick. There's no reason why we shouldn't. Why the Chargers at some point in that stretch shouldn't have won a title.
Right.
There's no reason. So I wouldn't have fired Marty. But I see where he was going with it. But then later on, I wouldn't have fired Norv for the simple fact is you kind of handcuffed Norv when you started fooling with everybody money on the back end. You see what I'm saying?
Which gets to me making the comparison that the Chargers need to stop being like certain other teams in other leagues. When you start fiddling with the money too much to try and save a few dollars and save a few cents, it doesn't make sense at the end of the day because it keeps you from winning championships.
And Rick is he's spending the money. He's getting players.
I mean, now he is.
He's trying to keep the windows open. He's trying to keep the window open. And, you know, we have to see. The season's it's still early.
Clarence, we want to see what you got to talk about. I know that it sounds like you're trying to elevate yourself in the living room from being a first-time caller to trying to grab a hot seat in the television space. So welcome to the show again, and what do you got for us?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the Texans. Well, first off, let's talk about their win-loss record the past couple of years and them making the playoffs. Every time they've made the playoffs these past couple of years, 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. They more than likely swept their division, so that's what 6-0 in the division.
Yep, right.
So 9-7, yeah. So that's swept the division at 6-0. That means they had to beat three other sorry teams.
Okay, you're right. Let me stop you there. They didn't sweep the division though, because as we mentioned, they've had all kinds of problems with the Colts.
Yeah, they've had them not sweeted. Okay, just
let's give them five.
Let's
give them five. Let's give a split with the Colts.
All right, so that's five. That means four. They won the games they're supposed to against sorry teams. My problem with the Texans is what can they do to get over some of the good teams? Is it coaching? Is it
players?
Well, we can always blame the quarterback, but sometimes the quarterback isn't the whole team. He just has to manage the game. Y'all, the defense has always been good for the past couple of years. I'm not a Texas fan. I'm a Saints fan, so I know
I can hear
what
yours.
Great and bad defenses look like.
Like you guys have one right now, right?
We got a horrible defense. Don't get me started on that. But I'm just saying, basically what the Texans are looking for is a game manager, and all these people who jumping off on Brock and talking about get him out, can you name me any other quarterback that's available right now that's better than Brock?
Jay Cutler.
I mean, you're going to go out there fishing.
Jay Cutler,
Is he available?
Yeah, he's going to be available.
He's going to be available.
He's going to be, but is he now?
I mean, that's available right now that you can just go out and say, all right, here go a couple of draft picks. We'll take him. As soon as you get that guy, I mean, is he necessarily going to be a Sam Bradford and come in and just immediately get the system and start winning games?
So you guys don't think – I mean, you wouldn't think – if they offered a couple draft picks for Jay Cutler, they wouldn't trade him before the trade deadline.
I would.
Hey, Rick's so good with his draft picks. You can't give those things away because he knows exactly what he's doing with them.
But you only make that move like Minnesota made the move because they felt like they had to, and they still feel like they had to.
You bring up a big point.
They're
Keenan.
Close to
you
winning
bring up
it
a
all.
Great point. Yeah. Let's do it in comparison.
Yeah.
Minnesota sees their team the way Texans fans see their team on the cusp of fighting for a Super Bowl, taking it to Clarence's point to the next level, to competing and beating the teams that you're supposed to be able to compete and beat with. So Minnesota goes and gets them, Sam Bradford, seems to be working out okay. Texans went a different route, went with a different guy.
Minnesota had to go get Sam Bradford because right now they don't ever think Teddy Bridgewater's coming back. When they traded that first-round pick, all the teams in the league saw blood in the water, and they knew they could ask for a king's ransom for whoever they wanted.
Kind of got it, but it gives them a good problem next year because, you know what, the other question that I throw out there is, what do you do next year if Teddy comes back healthy? Because to your guys' point, just like with Dak in Dallas, you got to ride the hot hand. You got to go with what's getting you there now because you don't know how long the window's going to be open. So, therefore, in my mind, you keep Sam Bradford see who else wants Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater never played for the Minnesota Vikings ever again. Clarence sounded like somebody mean-ass uncle, didn't he?
And by the way, Travis sounds like a guy that's making statements again. Teddy Bridgewater will never play with the Minnesota Vikings again. You don't hear that on AM stations.
And the Miami Dolphins should line up to get Teddy Bridgewater.
Bring him home. Bring him home. South Florida guy, bring him back to South Florida.
Wow.
I like that.
Should the Texans get in line?
Question. If it's the right price.
For the right price.
Would you get in line for Teddy Bridgewater even though you got Brock Osweiler? Questions. I got questions. You guys may have answers. El Jefe is live and in person after being a loyal follower and Twitter man.
Hey.
We are glad to see him.
We'd
love to see you.
Hey.
Trailer frame, I-45 North, Canino exit. Come out, see us till 4. We're here at ESPN 97.5 FM.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
4 o'clock, trailer wheel and frame, I-45 North and the Canino exit. You guys talk about being loyal followers, and we love you. And you talk about the fact that you're dedicated to the show. You text us and you tweet us. A lot of you guys tweet us more than others, and we know who you are. Because you are not cowardly keyboard confidants or confidants. You are the kind of guys that we like to call part of our family. Well, El Jefe, who likes to always chime in and send pictures and stay loyal to us, he not only backs it up with his tweets, he backs it up by showing up in person. And with that, you get pictures, you get love, you get a seat at the table in the living room when you join our discussions.
Yes.
El Jefe, welcome live in person to the show. We love having you. And the fact that we are here till 4 o'clock, there's plenty of time for you to join in as well. We were talking about the football situation. We had a ton of calls. We've been talking about the Texans. We've been talking about the options you may have had. We've talked about Rick Smith. We've talked about Bill O'Brien. I said that both of them should be on the hot seat. I said it's a body of work. It's not just one move here or there. Trav, to some degree, was sticking up for Rick Smith a little bit. But at the same time, we all know what we've seen. We all know what could have, would have, and should have been in terms of drafts. That hasn't happened. We don't know what happened with J.J. Watt, but we know he came back too soon. We know that now we're dealing with a Brock Osweiler situation, and we don't know if that's the right situation for your Houston Texans. Is Teddy Bridgewater a guy, as Trapp said before the break, that he doesn't think Teddy Bridgewater will play another game in the history of the Minnesota Vikings, but he might be out there. Is that a guy that you would line up and say, okay, maybe we get a do-over. Maybe it didn't work out with Brock, but maybe we go out and kick the tires on Teddy Bridgewater because we should have had him in the draft, which would have cost you nothing, but now you might have a chance to still get your hands on him, and still, if he's young and he recovers from the knee injury, could still be a guy that could play a prominent role on your team. Is it something you would consider? Is it something you'd consider giving up draft picks and or others for? And are you willing to pull the plug on Brock for Teddy Bridgewater if the situation arises? Something we'll throw out there. We'll give it to you. We'll let you take your shot at it if you want to join the show. 713-780-ESPN. Or you can tweet us. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Keenan McCardell, at TrapJ99, at Pac-Man Joel. Nick, you got anything for that? Nick, are you with us?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Nick, we're getting close, so we might as well roll into your Nick picks. We all have our cell phones ready, and we have taken all kinds of security off of them. So you are now free and clear to give us your Nick picks.
So are we doing the games that we're watching, or are we doing Nick picks?
No, we're just going to do Nick picks right now. We're going to do, because Keenan's already identified some college games. There's some big college games out there. So we want to make sure that you pick the right games, but there's some games that should be close, should be good, should be something that we can talk about. We'll do the games with and without the spread, but you do the Nick picks, and then we'll give you our commentary. Everybody can chime in. Tell everybody else who they think is going to win the game.
All right. We'll start with the Green Bay Packers facing the Dallas Cowboys, man. -4 for the Packers. Packers 3-1. The Cowboys 4-1. I think it's a huge test for the Cowboys. I like the Packers in this particular game at home. What do you guys think?
You already know me. I'm going with and without the spread. There's no doubt about it. I'm taking Green Bay.
Did you have to ask Joel?
Yeah, you don't even have to ask me.
That's kind of a dumb question.
You don't have to ask me like a tree or ask me like a human being. I just know that my shirt says it all.
Really? I got to go with the Packers. I'm going with the Cowboys. As much as
he
I hate
did
to that, say
that just to get in my face. That's all he did it for.
Because I need a round of golf from you anyway. So, you know,
I'm going to stay with the Packers, but I think it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a very good game.
I'm going with the Cowboys.
Realistically, from my standpoint, the Packers have the best rushing defense in the NFL.
Until they face the Cowboys.
That's what I'm saying. That's why this is a huge test. What it really comes down to, everybody's going to look at Dak, and you know, this is his first big test. But what it's really going to come down to is both defenses. Can the Packers stand up to that good offensive line of the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott and really live up to that best rush defense in the NFL? And can the Packers take advantage of a subpar Cowboys defense, because their offense has not looked consistent enough for me? And it's going to be a big test, so that's what I'll say. We can move on now, Nick.
Falcons, Seahawks. Falcons 4-1. The Seahawks are 3-1. Falcons obviously coming off that win against the Broncos and defeating them. They've obviously got some momentum, but I'm still picking the Seahawks at home. I think they're really, really tough to be at home. -6 for Seattle at home.
What you guys think? I mean, I'm glad Nick picked this game. It's a great game.
It's going to be a really good
game. And I'm telling you, no one saw Atlanta beating both Super Bowl participants of a year ago in consecutive weeks. Atlanta's impressed me.
I'm going with Atlanta.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going. I think with the way Tevin Coleman is playing, and the way Devontae Freeman is playing, and along with Julio Jones, it's hard to bet against those Falcons right now.
I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks, because the Seahawks haven't given up a 100-yard receiver yet.
Yep.
And they're going to play defense. I said yet because I still got that receiver in me.
I understand.
Nick, what's the spread?
On this game, it's -6 for Seattle.
What's the over-under?
I will tell you this. I'll take Seattle at home to win the game. But right now, otherwise, at the start of the year, I'd have said they'll cover the spread too. But I'm not sure that that's not another one of those tight games, because Seattle still hasn't proven to me they can put a lot of points on the board consistently.
No.
So I'm going to take, if you're going with the spread, I'd take Atlanta to win the game outright. I'll take Seattle.
And Julio's going to run one of Richard's hamstrings off his bone.
It's amazing to me, and you guys can comment on this all you want, but Richard Sherman starts getting credit as being a good tackler. I've never seen Richard Sherman want to make a tackle.
No, he's. I mean,
he makes the tackle.
He
it's
makes
not
the tackle.
Like, it's
yeah.
not like he wants to make the
yeah.
tackle.
Yeah, I look at it like this. I think Julio's going to take the top off of this defense, and it's going to be a big problem for all the underneath stuff.
Nicholas, game three.
Game three. I threw this one in here because we had a texter on the text line who really wanted a prediction from you guys. So I'm going to throw this in there. Baltimore Ravens going to the land of New York. -3 for the Giants.
Giants, who've lost three in a row.
Yeah. Who do you
Hosting
guys
Baltimore.
Take on this one?
Mac?
I like I like the Giants to get off their losing streak.
And don't forget now, Baltimore switched offensive coordinators. They got rid of Trestman.
True. And then Steve Smith is a question mark right now because he hurt his foot ankle. And you know, I think Eli will get off they'll get off their losing streak.
I'll take the Giants as well.
I'm going to take Baltimore. I think
Eli's defense.
I'm defense all day, every day. And I mean, even with Steve Smith out, but
your boy Suggs gonna have a day.
I think he'll have a day. I think when you look at who's the other defense end, went to Louisville as well, short dude.
Doomerville.
I think Doomerville's gonna have a good game. I mean, when you look at what they do on what the Giants do,
Elvis.
When you look at what the Giants doing, the Giants is looking real. They're looking real piss poor right now.
Well, they got to get a running game.
Jennings is
back, but whether he's the answer or someone else, if they don't establish a running game, their offense is going nowhere in a hurry.
It's nothing they've done. It's nothing they've done to sell me on a lot of things. Like last week, they looked awful.
Nick, would you take what's in the box or would you take what's behind game number four?
Sure. Let's see. We're going to the next game here. Let's see. Ohio State and Wisconsin, two top 10 teams. I like Wisconsin in this one. Wisconsin obviously was a team that was really talked about when they beat Michigan State, but then they lost to Michigan. I still like it because it's a two top team matchup. I think Urban Meyer
against the spread or outright, Nick. Because I love you, guy. I know you're sticking with your boy and going with my teams, but I'm going to tell you this right now. I think the Badgers are going to hang tough, and I like their defense. I just have to be a realist and say, even though that game's at home and College Game Day and prime time. I think Ohio State's too much for them.
And
Hornibrook, to me, as a freshman starting quarterback, showed he's got to be able to play bigger in big-time environments like at Michigan last week. And he had opportunities last week, didn't do it. That's why I'm worried about against Ohio State. I'll take the Buckeyes, but although you know where my heart is at, I hope Bucky wins.
Ohio State is going to drag them. It's going to be bad. I think if they can run the ball early, the game probably lasts for about two quarters. But the third and fourth quarter, I think right now y'all don't have enough numbers to stay with Ohio State.
I'm just saying, that young quarterback, too, he scares me.
Yeah, he should. And I got to go with Ohio State just because, I mean, it breaks my heart because I'm not an Urban Meyer fan. Hey, listen, I don't want your Raheel.
Hey.
I'm going with the Buckeyes.
I knew that. Okay, Nick, next game, game five.
All right, last game.
I could move past that one. I knew where it was coming.
And I am intrigued by the Alabama-Tennessee game, but I kind of want to see the NC State-Clemson game. I do.
That's going to be a
good game.
Yeah, and I think only because of the quarterback matchup, and I know that Ryan Finley is only one of two quarterbacks that has not thrown an interception. I just kind of see what he could potentially do against Clemson. NC State versus number three Clemson. I'm going with Clemson, but what do you guys think?
You know what? I got to give a shout out for my nephew this is his last high school game. I mean, his senior night game today, who's actually committed to NC State to go play outside linebacker defense end. So I'm going to go with NC State because, one, they got great coaching staff over there. Two, those guys are going to be prepared. So, I mean, I'm going to go with NC State just because my heart doesn't want to go with Clemson. As I say, if Florida State, we can't get in it, then I don't want nobody else in it.
Clemson's going to win. They're going to win convincingly. And Trap can chew on that sausage.
I think I'm going to go with Clemson, but NC State is playing very good football, so I wouldn't be surprised if an upset happened.
Is that the handful, Nick? The Nick picks?
That is the five games.
Five games for Nick picks every Friday right here. You can be a part of it too. Call in, be a part of the show, 713-780-ESPN, and we will make sure that you get in to talk about what you want to talk about. Maybe it's something we want to talk about or something we've already talking about, and we want to talk about some more. Regardless, we're here till 4, ESPN 97.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I'm a man of the people. I'm here till 4. Joel Blank, Keenan McCardell, Trap J, Travis Johnson, the man who made 99 famous in this town. Before there was a JJ, there was a TJ. K-Mac, 17 years in, number 87 in your program, number one in your hearts, because he's a local guy. We've been kicking around football and other things, and been talking about a lot of things that have fired you guys up. But the one thing that everybody seems to be wanting to dissect is that of Brock Osweiler. They're not so willing to dissect that of Bill O'Brien and or Rick Smith to this point. And I had the question throughout the week of, when do you start putting them on the hot seat if they aren't already on it? And how big is this game Sunday for those of you out there that are diehard Texan fans to realize that this could even be a make or break point in the season, because it's a divisional opponent. It's a team you've struggled with. You're at home. You're on a national stage. So everything is magnified. If Brock plays bad, he plays horrendous because it's on national TV. If the Texans lose, it is another deplorable loss because it's on national TV. And yep, everything will get blown up. So with that and for other reasons, I said it is a huge game for the Houston Texans. As we circle back to kind of recap for those of you that might have been in a place indisposed where you couldn't join the conversation and or the show, we'll bring it back around for you guys a little bit. But I get back to this game on Sunday night, and for those factors and even the national TV factor that didn't factor in as much the first time we talked about it, that's why I think it is so essential that not only do they get a win, and I know, Mac, you always say it doesn't matter as long as you get the dub, but this is a game, a statement game from the standpoint of they not only have to get a win, they have to impress, look impressive doing so.
They have. I think they have to. I mean, but the win is the win. That's what you're trying to get. I mean, I think they have to have a big showing for the rest of the league to make the rest of the league know that they're going to be
for real
contenders. And I think the last two times that they've been on the big stage against two good playoff caliber teams, they've pissed down their leg. Let's just say it simple. I mean, and
don't get any simpler than that.
Yeah, I mean, so this week, show up big. Not just, and I always say you get a win is a win, but they like to show up convincingly on this win.
I think more than just the team has to show up, I think the offense in particular has to show up. Because I think if the defense doesn't show up and they still win the game, nobody's really like burning the boats like the Vikings. Nobody's saying, no, we got to burn the boats. We got, you know, nobody's panicking. But if the offense doesn't show up again, or the offense doesn't show up, period, now everybody's going to be nervous. Because they're going to say, you know what, the defense without J.J., we aren't sold on can it do it. Even though I'm sold, I think that it can get done without J.J. I think the defense can play good ball without J.J. But at the same time, if the offense doesn't show up, then I think that's where the red flags come in. That's where you say, man, you know what, now we might have a real problem. We might have a real issue if we can't move the ball.
Right. Think about the things we've been talking about, right? Think about the things we've been talking about for over a week now, all right? They've all been on the offensive side of the ball. We went from talking about J.J. and then talking about the fact that this defense had the potential because it would form bonds and it would forge together because they knew they lost one of their fallen guys, that they could come together and play at the same level, if not better, because now more people are taking more personal responsibility. More people are having more things where they have a chance to work within the system to make sure the defense succeeded. But all the things we've been talking about for the last week and a half are offensive related. Bill O'Brien takes over the play calling responsibilities. And then, is it still too conservative? You know what? Lamar Miller, for all the time he's had all the touches and all the fact that he's been running the ball and catching the ball, he disappears against Minnesota because they go away from him. So now that's the Bill O'Brien factor and the Lamar Miller factor. Then everything with Brock Osweiler, because we already know that the fact that Brock is under the microscope and he's got the big contract, he hasn't performed well, 6 straight games with at least one interception. So that's something else we're talking about. And then we're talking about DeAndre Hopkins, because he's the guy that everybody says is the number one receiver on the team, but they can't seem to find a way to get him the ball. And when they do try to get him the ball in 50-50 situations, Brock's throwing such a bad ball that he even admitted to the fact that they're not 50-50. They're more like 60-40 or 40-60 or worse than that. So we've got everything that's magnified on the offensive side of the ball that is going to be on a center stage on national TV, and you're at home. They have to play at a very high level and get a win.
I mean, I think they. You're right. We know they have to play at a high level and get a win. And what Travis was saying, that Minnesota, you know, if their offense doesn't play well, they're not burning the boats because their defense is going to hold up and keep them in the game. The Texas defense, you know, we've seen they've been playing pretty well, but when they play teams of playoff caliber, they really haven't played well at all, if you really want to say the truth about it. And, you know, New England
and Minnesota.
I mean, they didn't play well.
No, not at all.
I mean, so, you know, we need offense and we need the defense to play. I mean, not just to say that they're playing lights out. I mean, they're not playing lights out on the defensive side.
Yeah, but at least against Minnesota, you saw glimpses of –
glimpses don't.
Yeah, I know glimpses don't mean. But they
were down 24-0 real fast.
Yeah, you're right.
A quarter and a half in.
Yes.
That's part of the reason why we never saw the running game.
A lot of it also was special teams.
As far as you had a return, which we said was going to be a factor.
Who said that?
You did.
You did.
You did.
Okay.
Hey, we gave you credit for that.
Who for dead?
But I also said it with you and before you, because I said of the Blair Walsh factor, too, that was one of the things where the Texans might have an advantage, or if it got down to that, they would be looked upon favorably. But it never even got to that point because of the return game.
I mean, they have to stop people, too. So
yeah, they do.
I mean,
well, that's another factor that's going to be looked at under a microscope on Sunday. Their special teams better be a lot better.
Think about this. You know, we're saying Whitney's having a great year, which he's having a great
year. Another good one, yep.
Clowney's coming around. But that whole defense is not playing together. As on that back end, the back end is struggling right now because they got injuries. They got guys that are coming in to play, you know, in there. I mean, I'm not saying they're playing bad, but they're not playing the way they've been capable of playing or have played in the past because of your veterans are out, banged up. And, you know, you got second-teamers in that are playing well but not playing well enough.
Yeah, so it's going to be a big game. And whether you like to say it or not, and everybody has chimed in on the Brock Osweiler thing, but the offensive side of the ball is definitely what everybody's going to be watching. But I can't emphasize this enough. Because it's on national TV, it is going to be magnified. And if they don't play well, you could find some heads rolling. You could find some things really go down because of the fact that it's kind of been their dirty little secret. They're in first place. They're 3-2. From a national perspective, not a lot of people are spending a whole lot of attention except for Jason Lockenfoy, who's worried about how much money Brock Osweiler makes. Other than that, they just keep saying, hey, you know what? At the end of the day, they're still in first place. They're 3-2. Trav and I have both said they're probably the worst 3-2 team in the NFL. The rankings came out. They had them 18th in the NFL, even though they're 3-2 and in first place.
But they're just looking at the
people
offense.
Are starting to catch on. They're starting to see the big picture.
Yes.
So this is a game against a team that they struggle with, too, that they're going to go – the only team that can give them any kind of a fight in the division. And the last thing you want the two-game lead if you win the game. You got a two-game lead over the Colts, got the first tiebreaker because you won the first game. You're on your way. If you lose this game, take all the scrutiny that in your rearview mirror that you just had to deal with and imagine that times 100 because now you're tied for the division lead. You lost the first tiebreaker. You're taking it again on the chin to a team that has always been a big thorn in your side.
Yes.
And now the critics are coming out of the woodwork because you can't hide. You're the only game on Sunday Night Football in the biggest game of the weekend. Everybody's going to be watching it. So whether you want to admit it or not, and you can chime in and let us know. But definitely, Sunday night, I believe, is a huge, huge game. And it's as close to a make-or-break game this season as I can imagine this early in a campaign, simply for those reasons alone. If you have a call, if you have a comment, hit us up on Twitter. Let us know, 713-780-ESPN, via call, via text message. We're here till 4. Trailer wheel in frame, I-45 North and the Canino exit, ESPN 97.5. Can it be right now?
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
So therefore, we are front and center to make sure you know who we are at all times. He's Travis Johnson. He's Keenan McCardell. I'm Joel Blank. We've been having a great time here at Trailer Wheel and Frame. We make one appearance a month here, live and in person in the front of the store. You can reach us at the I-45 and Canino exit. We've been here all day. John and Raheel and Sean were here along with K-Mac. We had a good day here, as always. If you need a trailer, if you need something for your truck, if you need anything that involves a trailer, a wheel, or a frame, you know exactly where to come because the name says it all. It's Trailer Wheel and Frame. We are proud they are a huge sponsor of the station and the shows. We love being here, and we would love you to be here to join in the next time because we have food, we have beverages, we have giveaways. We do it all right here, live and in living color. I-45 Canino exit, Trailer Wheel and Frame. We're here till 4 o'clock, and then we turn it over from the pre-vent to the blitz, and AJ and Fred take you home for the weekend. So, guys, this is normally the segment where we talk about what we'll be watching this weekend. There's obviously a lot of football on the agenda. Trav, you and I will be two that I believe will be watching more than football.
Yes. Yes.
Baseball. And because of the baseball, let me throw this
you
little.
You guys don't think I watch baseball?
I don't think a lot of you. So let me throw this out there for you guys. Regular.
I don't think a lot of him. On
that's why, because you picked
either.
The Cowboys.
It's all right.
I think
secretly him and Nick play kind of similar games on the basketball court. Yeah.
First of all, we're all betting whether that's going to happen, where you can actually dunk on Nick or not.
I told you. All I need is a couple months to warm up.
Oh wait,
warm up or slim down?
I gotta just warm up.
Uh-huh. So you can dunk without a defender, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right now?
I figured. Yeah, we were asking.
It just takes me time. I just got to get these knees and hips warmed
Nick,
up.
Nick, you won't.
I've been dunking since I was 9 years old.
Nick, you won't be a defender.
Donuts
you
don't count,
You won't be a defender
G.
either when you see this better of 325.
330, baby.
325
don't sell him short.
Coming at you.
Don't take that nickel from him.
You'll get out the way also.
Don't take that nickel from him. Here's a stat of the day for you guys. Not sure you know this or not, but it's stat anyways. Do you realize that the same two cities will participate in the conference finals of an NBA series as well as the league championship series of a Major League Baseball series for the first time in the history of the two sports?
No,
the Toronto Raptors and the Toronto Blue Jays, Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland Indians.
That's pretty nice.
Interesting. Starts tonight.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll be watching the baseball playoffs for sure. My wife and her mom are huge Dodger fans, and so they are definitely pulling for blue. So I will be watching that series when it starts, and tonight I'll be catching the Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays. And I think everybody's happy that the Rangers are out. So that there you have that from the Houston perspective. And then, obviously, you guys know, Saturday night, college game day. Even though I am expecting the worst, I will watch my Badgers take on the Buckeyes. And then, of course, Sunday, where people from the state of Texas will chime in and be with that star and all the gun racks. I'll be watching my Pack and the Cowboys. Mac already has let me down once again by taking Dallas. We'll see what can be done, but I'm definitely going to go for the green and gold.
Well, I got games that we all probably watch, and it's some college games. My first one is Alabama-Tennessee.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't know how Tennessee hangs with them.
I think Tennessee hangs just off their athletic ability early, but I think Dobbs is the weak link in this series, and I think he shows his true colors in the fourth quarter, and really that's when Alabama stomps a mud hole.
All right. Stanford-Notre Dame.
Wow, that's 200 achievers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got to go with Stanford on this one. Well, I got to go with Stanford.
I do too.
I like Stanford also.
In terms of the coaching, and then I'll say this, McCaffrey's just got – he's not even in the Heisman race anymore, but he's had two stinkers. He's got to have a big game and step back into some kind
of
discussion.
Great defense to have it against because they don't.
There is no defense. Next to the University of Texas, there is no defense.
Travis might not like this one. UNC versus Miami.
Well, I would not like it. I don't care who wins that game, but I like UNC over Miami.
Why?
Because
UNC is a dark horse team right now.
Yeah, they are. They beat us. So I got to beat Miami. We're better than Miami. So if they can beat us, they can definitely beat Miami.
Okay. That's why.
Who you got, man?
I got Miami. I like UNC, but I'm going with Miami. Miami's more talented. The next one is Louisville-Duke.
There's another one of those games that's
the only reason I'm watching this one is Action Jackson, but Duke is better than what
I was going to say. That's game. Another trap game. Remember when we warned y'all about Navy and everybody was like, oh, come on. Nick was like, no way. Come on. Everybody thought U of H had a cakewalk. Look what happened.
That's a trap game.
Louisville's version of Navy could be in this Duke game.
It's Duke. No question.
Nick, since you didn't get back on your bandwagon of the Cougars, Houston-Tulsa. Tulsa is 4-1 right now.
Yes.
But so, we don't have a bad track record against them, do we?
It don't matter.
It doesn't matter. They're 4-1. They're playing pretty good.
You play to win the game.
Simply.
So, who are you guys taking?
You know what? Just because I'm a Cougar hater and I want to see my Twitter blow up today, you know what I mean? Like some guys have told me. I think El Jefe, that might have been you who tweeted that to me earlier. But I'm going to go with Tulsa because I think, for one, I just want the attention. But two, I think they actually have a chance.
Really? I'm going with Houston. I think they
I'm going Cougs too.
I think they get back in the saddle and they get the plan.
Hey, so
I got to go because my daughter goes there.
I understand, but if I'm correct on this, what's the over under on somebody on a later show claiming that was their pick?
Oh, it's at least 65%.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Okay.
Fred and AJ, by the way, are on location at Saloon Door Brewery in Webster. So the Blitz will be on location just like we are. But
in Webster,
instead
Texas.
Of Trailer Wheel and Frame, they're going to be in Webster, Texas. You guys want to swing by on your way home. Fred and AJ and the Blitz at the Saloon Door Brewing.
Saloon.
In Webster. There you go. Saloon. So bring your chaps. Travis likes to wear them without underwear. And you can roll on in with the swinging doors.
Ow!
There you go.
You don't have to be beautiful.
You got that covered.
I do not want
right,
to picture that.
Trap, since you already covered the Prince concert that went on last night, finally in Minneapolis, the memorial. Keaton got his games. I got mine. The floor is all yours, sir.
Mine's, of course, starting tonight, of course, with the Blue Jays and the Indians.
Yep.
And Saturday, I got a doubleheader of the Blue Jays and Indians and the LA Dodgers against that team, against those little itty bitty, those Cubbies.
Okay.
You know, so I'm looking forward. Of course, I got the Dodgers winning. And I, of course, Blue Jays.
And Mac got a bet.
Yeah, of course.
Mac's got the Cubs.
Yeah, we bet.
We're betting a series, right?
Yeah, we're betting a series.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's not just one game, but you got to bet the series.
But we can go one game, but we'll bet the series.
No, it's safe to bet the series.
Yeah, I mean, because if we bet per game, I don't want you to have to owe me 14 pizzas. You know what I mean?
Not that he couldn't pack it away. Okay, so what other games you got?
Wow.
That's it.
Baseball. What are the Noles?
The Noles, I mean, we play nobodies. You know what I mean? Like,
When you underachieve.
I think we play Wake Forest this weekend. I'm not looking forward to that Wake Forest game. I mean, yes, Wake Forest puts up a fight every time. Going to Wake Forest, we always have a problem because the field is terrible. I think they finally put turf on the field, but it's always been garbage. I mean, when I look at these games, to me, this is a baseball weekend. If I didn't have to do TV, I wouldn't watch the Texans play this weekend.
Whoa.
Because I love baseball that much. October.
You went from name dropping to job dropping. You're doing TV. You're moonlighting on us.
Yeah, I'm just doing TV. I don't know if I'm doing BET, CW, CBS, ABC. I'm just doing some type of TV. You know,
Trap J Television.
Trap J. You know what? I need a channel.
There you go.
I need a channel. Who got access to me? Give me a channel.
Well, but based on how you use your phone to do live shots in the studio, you already got one.
I actually do. Yeah,
right?
That's pretty solid. So.
You gotta get you a filmer. You gotta get somebody that can film.
Hey, El Jefe showing up for it. We might have to hire him.
He might be our camera crew and let us know. At least this time we'll know when the camera's being pointed at us. So certain of us will have certain looks that they'd like rather than not like. If you know what I mean.
This guy always complains about his glasses.
I only wear them when I'm reading, but I gotta read a lot when I'm here. And I don't like it. He's gonna do the same thing.
Should I take a picture and put it out on Twitter?
Tell you what.
Yes, please.
Live from the saloon, it's the Blitz coming up next in Webster, Texas. We want you to have a great weekend. We appreciate you joining us every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.